We're looking at the transformational leader. What does it mean to be a transformational leader? And we're starting with the area of discipleship. Jesus said, go and make disciples. What does that mean? What does it mean to be discipled? Have you ever been asked or asked someone else, have you been discipled? Who discipled you? When were you discipled? You've probably had that question asked to you. How do you respond? How do you respond? Is it that someone came into your life and taught you? Did you read a book? Did you just spend some time? Was it a period of time in your life when some people were around you that taught you? What did that mean for you? Have you ever discipled someone or led a discipleship group? What is a discipleship group? And what did you do? What did that mean? In my journey, up until a few years ago, if you had asked me, how are you discipled, or when were you discipled, I would point to a 10-week course that was given during my 2-year stay in Vienna. It was led by a navigator, and he took us through what became Design for Discipleship, which was a wonderful teaching tool that's been used all over the world. And I've used it many times myself in working with youth. It was great. But the interesting thing is that I spent 2 years there and I was surrounded by missionaries and by people that I went through all kinds of experiences and being with various people, asking questions and observing and talking about things. And I that two-year experience really was a discipleship experience. In fact, I began to wonder, why would I look at discipleship as those 10 weeks, those 10 Wednesday evenings, and not consider all of the other experiences that I was going through as I was asking questions and learning about what it meant to live the Christian life. One of the young people, I think I talked to about him earlier on in the course, was Jimmy. And Jimmy was a young man that got involved in our ministry, and he came on staff, and he really grew as a leader. In fact, we had an experience where after a few years, we had a national conference, and we hosted it in Denver. And it's a conference with all of these leaders, youth leaders and other leaders, as part of Christian community development. So they're from all around the country and parts of the world. And during that conference, they brought Jimmy and I up front, and they gave us the Tom Skinner Leadership Award. I had no idea it was going to happen, neither did he. They pulled us up there, and then in front of all of these people, all of these leaders, they presented Jimmy and me. The focus was on Jimmy. And what happens when you have a young man who grows up in the hood, becomes a believer, becomes a noted leader, and you put him in front of all of these urban leaders? What do you think happened? You guessed it. People came after him. And sure enough, a year later, he was off to Dallas to work with another organization. When he left, there was a little bit of disappointment because he felt that I had not discipled him. We would get together we'd try and get together to study books of the Bible. And we'd get started, and then either he would miss or I would miss. It wasn't consistent. And when he left, he felt I had not discipled him. Until a couple years later, he was with that ministry in Dallas for 1 year, and then he branched off and started his own ministry. And when he did that, he later came to me and said, you know, Ted, when I left, I thought you hadn't discipled me. But then I started running my own ministry and my own board and making my own plans. And he says, Ted, I began to ask the question almost daily, what would Ted do in this situation? In fact, he said, I began to remember everything you did. That influenced my thinking about leadership. But in my personal journey, this matter of discipleship, what does it really mean? Robert Gelinas, who happens to be my pastor, has written a book called Discipled by Jesus, Your Ongoing Invitation to Follow Christ. And he makes some observations. He says, we have an insufficient definition of discipleship. In fact, we have lost the original meaning behind what Jesus meant when he said, go make disciples. And so, therefore, the average Christian does not know what it means to be a disciple. So there is a deep desire for real life transformation, but most of our discipleship activities are falling far short of our hopes. There is a myth regarding discipleship that we need to take a very close look at. It's the myth of modern day discipleship. It's an idea, it's a good idea, but it's a little bit off. It is an assumption that takes us in a direction that the command was not intending for us to take. And here it is. Jesus is the model that we are to follow as we make disciples. That's not exactly true. That's not exactly what Jesus said. But here's what happens. This myth has subtly displaced Jesus as the one who is in charge and actively engaged in discipling his people. By considering Jesus as merely a model for what we are to do, we miss that he should be the active agent that is intimately involved in and in charge of the process. Jesus is not a method. He is the actual means by which we are to be discipled. Let's take a closer look at it. The word make disciples is two words, but it comes from one word, mathateuo. And it means to become a pupil, or it means to enroll as a scholar, to be disciple, instruct, to teach. Here's what it means, the bottom line. When it comes to discipleship, Jesus never gave up the job. He never gave up the job. We tend to, because of the myth, we tend to think of discipleship like we are in a relay race, where Jesus has held the baton, and now he has passed it on to us. And we are running ahead, and Jesus is fading into the background, saying, go for it. He's rooting us on, but now we've got the baton, and we are doing the discipleship. That's not really the case. It really is, we really are in a three-legged race. And our partner in the race is Jesus. Actually, we are partnering with him. But that really is what discipleship is about. It's not a commission, it's a co-mission. Jesus invites us to join him as he makes disciples. We mentioned this before, but let me share it with you again. Disciple, Eugene Peterson says, we are people who spend our lives apprenticed to our master, Jesus Christ. We are in a learning relationship, growing learning relationship always. And so a disciple is a learner, but not in the academic setting of a schoolroom, but rather at the work site of a craftsman. We do not acquire information about God, but skills in faith. Robert writes this in his book. He says, according to Paul, in Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 13, a pastor's role is twofold: mobilize people for service and point people to Jesus. Pastors spend their time identifying the needs of their community and preparing God's people to meet those needs for the glory of God and the good of the city. In addition to that, their preaching, teaching, and leadership are to point people to a risen Savior so that God's people have a unified experience of Jesus, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So what's the pastor's role? He writes, my job as a pastor is not to disciple people, but to equip and prepare them to be discipled directly by Jesus, their great shepherd. As the pastor of a local church, I should serve in such a way that people catch a compelling glimpse of all that is available to them in Christ, while at the same time being careful not to take His place in their life. So we pastors must do what we do in such a way that people move to the edge of their seat in eager anticipation of Jesus Himself stepping into their lives and guiding them directly. Really is amazing. So, how does this impact our understanding and our role in discipleship? Thinking of Jesus as a model for discipleship confuses our role and His role in the discipleship process. When we walk with Jesus, listening, obeying, allowing ourselves to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, we are being discipled by Jesus. When we meet with Jesus in our prayers, in our reading of the Scriptures, in our applying God's truth to life, as we listen to Him, apply His Word to our lives directly, that is discipleship. Our task with youth is to serve in such a way that youth catch a compelling glimpse of all that is available to them in Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. Other people do play a role in the discipleship process, just as we do with kids. But what they do is they point you to Jesus. Or put it another way, no matter who comes before you, no matter what happens, you sift everything through God's Word. No one has authority. Their words only have authority to the extent that they express God's Word, that they ring true with God. And so Jesus will use many people to affirm that which He is trying to tell us. But we are not being discipled by them. We're being discipled by Jesus. So, what if we pictured our role in discipleship not as the runner holding the baton, but in a three-legged race with Jesus? How would that impact how we approach youth discipleship? And how would this impact how you see yourself being discipled? I encourage you to consider this, come to grips with this, that Jesus is not fading in the background while someone else is discipling you. He's not fading in the background while you are struggling to disciple others. You do not take His job. Your job is to introduce them to the One who loves them and cares for them and wants to be directly engaged and involved in their lives. Encourage you to pick up Robert's book, Discipled by Jesus, Your Ongoing Invitation to Follow Christ. It's put out by Nav Press, and it was just published last year. I encourage you to read it, ponder it, consider that, yeah, Jesus never gave up the job, not with young people, and certainly not with you.